This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 353 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
We got a lot of rain already.
Yeah. That was a lot.
It rained a tremendous amount.
It rained in Maine, not just mainly in the plains.
That's true. True.
But we missed last week through a series of unfortunate events.
I had to work evening shift on Monday and then Tuesday. I had stuff come up. And then by then, it's like we might as well wait till next Monday.
Yes, indeed. So we've got 2 weeks worth of stuff to cover.
Which, quite frankly, it's not a lot of TV shows to talk about.
Well, I mean, we've got some pretty big ones because we've got the finale of Picard and Mandalorian.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
We've got two really packed, really good episodes of Ted Lasso. We've got two episodes of Ghost to talk about because we hadn't talked about Ghostfather of the Bride last time, and then this week we had Woodstone's Hottest Couple.
We didn't talk about Pete's daughter getting married?
No, because you hadn't watched it. I swear we did.
Okay. All right. And then
that's it for the
Right. There was only like CSI was on 1 week, but not the other week. And then Connors was on. That's still solid. Deadliest Catch came back. We watched the first episode. There's two episodes out. We watched the first one. We enjoy that one. It's a double episode. So it's like watching an hour and a half movie, if you will.
Nice.
That was solid like that. And then, American Idol's. It's so weird because, like, I remember in the past, like, the audition episodes and the whittling to the top 24 seemed to take just a few weeks of
just
episodes.
Just a little amount of time?
Yeah. And then you would have – then the top 24 section dragged out for a couple months of eliminating people every week and on and on and on until we finally got down to the winner. And now it's like – the auditions and Hollywood Week and all that other stuff to get down to the top 24 takes a long time. And then they did a top 26 this year because they just couldn't decide. And like immediately in two episodes, they went from 26 to 12. And that was in 1 week, like Sunday night.
Wow.
So like they did the singing in Hawaii and then I mean, and that decided their top 26 or whatever, but then no, it doesn't matter. So, but yeah, they went in 2 days, they went from your top 26 to your top 20 and then your top 20 to your top 12, 2 days. And they just boom, 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 boom. And they did the same thing last year. And there's like, that's a 14 people to get rid of in 2 days, essentially more than half the class, if you will. And it's just like, so many great singers to get rid of so quickly. It can be kind of frustrating, but we shall see. We didn't watch Sunday night's episode yet. It's Monday night as we record this. So
I will say that on our side for things that you don't watch presently, we finished up season two of Only Murders in the Building.
Yep.
Great show. It really is. Like, it kept me going right up till the end. Season three is set up. I'm glad that they got a season three. Funny enough, saw a TikTok the other night that was the three stars stepping out of a door and addressing the production crew and saying, that's a wrap on season three. So season three is wrapped filming.
Oh, nice.
It's awesome. So yeah, the, the show is great. It's a good mystery. The actors are all solid. Really enjoyed the hell out of it. And highly recommend to anybody who likes comedy, mysteries, etc. Otherwise, we watched a little more Doctor Who. I felt bad because the other night we're like, okay, what are we going to watch? And Julia's like, well, where are we at with Doctor Who? I can't really do a heavy episode right now, you know. And I was like, oh, this will be a good one. It's the one with Rosa Parks. And she's like, oh, cool. I forgot that that's one of the heaviest episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to the end of it, and I just kept apologizing. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I remembered it was Rosa Parks, and I remember that she stood up for herself, and I just forgot about the rampant bigotry, and
yep.
Holy shit. Like, it was uncomfortable to watch. And, you know, like I told her, and she knew that already, but, you know, I was like, this was not even 100 years ago. You know, this still happens in some areas, unfortunately.
Hey, I just found out the other day, I was reading about Hatfields and the McCoys.
Mm.
And
happy people.
Yeah. And there was this thing where, like, one of the Hatfields, it doesn't matter. I think it was the Hatfields, Ants Hatfield, him and his gang or whatever, when they were in the Revolution, Civil War, like, murdered or killed a couple, whatever, it's war, so it's not murder, but they killed a couple, like, Union trackers, and they had put, like, names to them, like they're supposed to mean somebody, you know. And I was like, I've never heard of them. So, like, I googled this one track, you know, this one name, it's something Hurley, and I didn't see anything about that Civil War tracker. But what came up to me is that currently and today in 2023, there's a high school in West Virginia, in Hurley, West Virginia, and they're called the Fighting Rebels. They have a rebel flag as their, like, symbol on, like, their football helmets and everything, like a stylized one of it blowing in the wind. And they're a Confederate soldier is their mascot. And they have a giant, giant Confederate flag painted on their, like, quadruple front doors that take up the whole front entrance of the school.
Wow.
And I'm really? Not. Yeah. And what shocks me about that, it's like with all these internet activists that jump on things and, you know, do click button shit, whatever. How is that still around? How is that still a thing in 2023? I get it. It's in, like, Podunk, West Virginia. But how is that still a thing? I'm not expressing an opinion other than my disbelief that it's still around and that I haven't seen this blowing up all over the internet someplace from some people somewhere going, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I still read things about people being pissed about the Atlanta Braves still being called the Braves and the Kansas City Chiefs still be calling the Chiefs and that they're Arrowhead Stadium and that their fans do, like, a Indian chant, war chant, Native American war chant, you know, as part of their gimmick with the tomahawk chop and everything. Like, I hear people still griping about that all the time.
Yeah.
You know? But, like,
yeah.
This seems worse, I guess. I don't know. Like, but it's just
I would agree with that. Yep.
Yeah, it's just quite surprising to see that. Quite surprising.
Yeah,
I
don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, anyhow, so that just shocked me. But regardless, I mean, I'll talk about it now because it's a show I'm watching that you're not.
Okay.
Do you remember the trailer we saw for the I think British is the way to call it. It's on Netflix. It's called the Bastard Son and the Devil Himself.
Yeah, yeah. I remember something about that.
Loved it.
Really?
All 8 episodes. Down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Down the hatch.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I threw one on just for shiggles the other day. And I was like, this was enjoyable. And I think there's one episode that I was like, I could do without this episode. But for the most part, good story. I kind of really got sucked into it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. You should definitely watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's based on on the novel called Half Bad by Sally Green. It came out in 2013. Very popular novel, apparently. Nathan Byrne has been quietly monitored by the Council of Fairborn Witches for the for the first 16 years of his life. So essentially in this book or this movie or whatever, you have good witches, which are called Fairborn witches, and you have bad witches, which are called Blood witches. And they hate each other, like the Hatfields and the McCoys. But like the Romulans and the Capulets or whatever it is. But anyways, they hate each other. Montagues, not Romulans. God, Montagues. I was thinking Romeo and Juliet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the Capulets and the Montagues.
Yeah. So anyways, but
although I have to say now Romulans and Capulets is going to be the name of this episode.
There we go. But anyhow, so it's actually quite interesting. So when a witch is born, you don't know if it's going to be a blood witch or a fairborn witch. At 17, they have to drink the blood of their family. So like, you know, they cut a finger and sprinkle some in your mouth or whatever. And that's when you get your power. And as a witch, you get a power. You have no idea what it's going to be. You can cast spells and do all things like that, but you get one like magic power, if you will.
Mm. In video game terminology, that would be called your ultimate ability.
There you go. You get one ultimate ability. So I enjoyed it thoroughly. I thought it was really good. The hour long episodes, you know, the 50-minute episodes didn't. I didn't sit down and go, oh God, that's 50 minutes. Ugh, okay, here we go. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. I think you would like it as well. You should absolutely check it out.
I definitely will. Now that I know that there are witches and such involved, like that'll be an easy sell for the old lady there.
And that is, incidentally, there's no vampires, demons, or anything. It's just witches.
Cool.
Yeah. And non-witches, like just they call them fames or something like that. Just humans living their life.
And what is the full title again?
The Bastard Son, and that's Nathaniel, and the Devil himself, which is his dad.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'd give it a hard sell.
Speaking of hard sells, we are halfway through the fourth episode of season two of Schmigadoon, which is still on Apple TV as Schmigadoon, but this season is Schmicago.
Right.
So you've got the mayor character is actually a butcher. The prude, uptight woman, Kristen Chenoweth from the first one, is now she runs an orphanage. There's a dancing girls club. Jane Krakowski is the greatest lawyer I have ever seen. The first season was amazing. The second season, six episodes, half hour each. I mean, it is bingeable. Bam, 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 bam. Okay. So we're halfway through the fourth episode. We've got two after this. It's just plain fun. I won't even tell you how they end up in this place because that's half fun. But yeah, go watch.
For only a half an hour, you said.
Yeah, yeah. So basically it's 3 hours and you're through the whole season. The first season was amazing. The second season, amazing as well. Same actors, different characters in some places. So yeah, hard sell.
Okay. I did start watching another new show.
Okay.
Because apparently that's what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember the old, not old, but you remember the anthology series Slasher?
Yes.
So apparently they came out with a sixth season. It's on Shudder. Okay. It's a Shudder season since season four was on Shudder. Season one was on Chiller, season two and three Netflix, and now season four, five, and six have been on Shudder. This season is called Ripper. And so it's not Jack the Ripper, because it takes place in Toronto, but I'll read the synopsis. Ripper will head back into time to the late 19th century, where there's a killer stalking the streets, instead of targeting the poor and the downtrodden like Jack the Ripper. The widow is meting out justice against the rich and powerful. The only person staying in the way of the killer is the newly promoted detective Kenneth Riker, whose ironclad belief in justice may wind him yet another victim.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So they were releasing new episodes every Thursday on Shudder. Excuse me. So I've watched the first four, I believe, of eight. It's decent.
I'm not sensing as hard of a sell here.
Well, so like with the bastard himself, sorry, the bastard son and the devil himself, like I paid attention the whole time. With this one, I'm like writing on my blog, or I'm playing cribbage online, or I'm not giving it my full attention. I'm just kind of on.
Gotcha.
I'm digging it, but more along the lines of like, I kind of want to see where the story ends, but it's taking a really long time to get there. So I will finish it. I like the, cause I didn't realize it. So like, something I'll talk about that I watched later, I wanted to see, and I saw it was streaming on Shudder, and Kate's cousin Johnny had given me his sign in a while ago, and I had never put it in because I had AMC Plus, which had Shudder. So I went back and found it, asked him again. He was like, go right ahead. So I fired it up to watch that. And since then, I've watched more stuff. And then I saw that TV series was on there, the slasher season. So I caught up to the most recent episode, and now I got to wait, which is fine. Because it gives me something to watch over the next 4 weeks, but I can't give it a hard sell. I'm curious how it's going to end. It's good enough to keep me wanting to see it. I wouldn't give it the hard sell like I did the other.
Okay.
I know it's been 2 weeks, but I do want to just say this real quick. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 movies to talk about.
Good Lord, man. That's 8 per week. That's just, there's something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Little bit. But in my defense.
Nope.
Got nothing. No, in my defense, Kate and Wesley were in Ocean City. So like we came back, I came back from my weekend away. We recorded that Monday, and then I had that whole week where I worked a couple days, did this, that, or whatever, and then through the weekend where they weren't around. Mm-hmm. And so I could watch whatever I wanted. And did. So
I was going to say, and you took full advantage of that.
Yeah, I did. So I ended up with 16 movies on the old list. But do you have any? Did you? I know you watched one movie.
I watched 3 movies, actually. So, I mean, for me, that's like your 16.
Yeah, that's nice. Good for you. Let's see here. What TV show do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Ghosts?
Yeah, let's do Ghosts. Because okay. you think we talked about, but I remember the last time we had talked, I said, oh, there was a ghost. It was it had something to do with a wedding. And you were like, no, I didn't watch it. And I said, okay,
maybe, we'll save it for next time. Maybe you touched on it. That's why.
Yeah, I think that was it. Because I put in my notes, need to talk about this from last time.
All right. Well, it's the ghost father of the bride. Essentially, Sam is still on the mailing list for Pete's family's family newsletter. And they find out that his daughter's going to get married. And Pete had always dreamed about walking her down the aisle, whatever. So Sam calls her, say, hey, you should have it here for free, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, nah, we're going to do it on our little, deck outside. And Pete's like, oh, I didn't get a permit for that. So they called and reported it. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
So now they come to the house and then, Sam being Sam, it's like you think she would have figured out how to talk to people by now without messing things up, but that's what she does. And Pete's old scout book, his grandson loves and has read it cover to cover 100 times. And so they fake wrote in notes from Pete about flowers or this, that, or whatever.
Yeah, because he really wanted to have the, what was it, the lilies or something?
Yeah, and it wasn't lilies, it was orchids, but anyhow. Yeah. And so they discover, oh, you defaced our treasured family heirloom because you blah, blah, blah. So they decide, screw it, we're going to leave. And Sam's apologizing, and she uses a phrase that only Pete's used to describe, like, shenanigans or, scuttlebutt or whatever. And so because of that, they decide to stay, and they have the wedding there. And, yeah. And that's the episode.
Yeah, well, no, because also in this episode...
that's Pete's portion of the episode.
Yeah, yeah, Trevor and Hetty come clean with everybody that they're hooking up and that they're a couple. And we won't see the full effect of that play out until the next episode. Sorry about that.
And then, to me, really, the A story is Crash's head being recovered.
That was what I had touched upon last time we talked, was that there was somebody who... you know, Crash, who we all forgot about.
Yeah.
Like, you had forgotten about that because you were like, oh my God, I forgot about him. And I was like, I know, Julie and I had too. And then he showed up and it's like, oh, wait a minute.
So tell us about Crash's head.
So basically, Hetty and, I can't remember. But anyway, they were walking through the woods and they found Crash's head in a tree stump. And it had been deposited there a while back. So when we saw Crash, you know, he was missing his head. They reunited with his body, and he's like, oh, I don't know what happened, but I just know that my head ended up out there and blah, blah, blah. So Isaac and Alberta, thank you. Isaac and Alberta decide that they are going to do the true crime thing, and they're going to do good cop, bad cop, and they're going to interview everybody, get to the bottom of this mystery. So they start conducting interviews and they're doing this, that, and the other thing. And it turns out in the end, you know, they name Flower as the suspect because, you know, he was hitting on her a lot and she got annoyed with it because he would like sing her songs constantly when she was trying to do things and it got really annoying. So she was like, yeah, I guess I did. But actually it was Isaac who did it. Isaac got rid of his head because he was just annoyed by him in general and wanted some peace and quiet. So he did that like a year ago. And they just let Flower go on believing that she had done it. And then she ended up doing it in the end of this episode because he kept singing to her and annoying her. And she's like, you know what? Boom, head's gone.
Yeah, and then we didn't see him in this episode.
Nope. No, I feel like he's just a one-off guy every now and then.
Because in this episode, in the most recent episode, we got the return of the prom girl who sleeps in the attic.
Stephanie.
Who apparently only wakes up once a year.
Yep. Unless she is woken up by Jay.
Yeah, so Jay had gone to New York for a... like a D&D thing. And then while he was there, he bought some designer sneakers, like basically like Nikes, but they're not Nikes, but that's what they're, you know, they're sneakerheads. So they bought about him. And is it Mark is the name of their contractor?
Maybe.
Let's just say Mark. Sorry. Yeah. He bought it for them to share or he to show off or whatever. And then he went up to hide him in the attic in a trunk and he woke up Stephanie. And I think it's funny. Cause like when he walked in, he's like, hey, Sam, and 3 to 8 people I can't see in the room.
Yep.
It's funny because so then Stephanie wakes up, finds out that everyone's a couple except Pete, and decides that she wants to break everybody up, including Sam and Jay, because that'll make her happy.
So yeah, if she can't be with anybody, then nobody can.
So she begins to sabotage everybody. We get Jay... it's funny, not funny, but we get Jay like, you know, I think it was Stephanie tells Sam about the sneakers that he hid. And so Sam comes to him and goes, I know what you really did in New York and blah, blah, blah. And she doesn't talk about the sneakers. Instead, he brings up, oh, well, I did apply to work at the restaurant. I used to be the head chef at the restaurant I used to work at. So that just basically leads to him being like, yeah, I know you're happy here. And everything, but you get to interact with all these people that I don't see and I try to make the best of it, but you know, I'm kind of bored. Like I don't have the guys. I don't have like kind of anything because
he doesn't have any kind of a social life.
Right. And cause she made the, you know, I can't move back to the city. She's like, that place is just full of ghosts. Central Park is, you know, like I can't remember the word she used, but it was just a funny way to describe that. There's just ghosts everywhere.
Everywhere.
So anyhow, yeah. So they talk it out, and there's apparently an old barn on the back of the property that Mark asked to hide his portion of the shoes there because
nobody
doesn't want his wife to know about it.
But it's got good bones.
But it's got good bones. And so they basically decide to make a destination restaurant there. So Jay can then kind of like be a real chef again, not just a B&B chef, and try to attract more people. And they don't have the capital for that, but they do if their contractor becomes their business partner. So he and Mark are going to work together. Pete is not okay with this because Jay's supposed to be his best friend, and now Mark and him are going to be friends. So I think that's funny.
Yes.
Jay does confess half the sneakers are his.
Uh-huh.
Stephanie gets called up for what she's done, and everyone kind of reconciles, you know, Hetty and No Pants there. I can't think of his name.
Trevor.
They decide that they are going to break up in front of everybody so they can just secretly hang out like they used to because that was better.
Yep.
And
which I called that as soon as I saw it. I was like, oh, yeah, they're absolutely doing this to just kind of throw everybody off.
And one of the what are they called?
Basement dwellers.
Basement dwellers. Thank you. So the one that the girl that's always up talking to everybody, she's like, oh, because Stephanie's like, because even Trevor's like, you're a child. And she's like, no, I'm not. I'm 54. You know, but no, you died when you were 17. So like you're off limits. And so she's like, yeah, Sam quotes like a sweet 16 candles quote. So she like falls for that, you know, and because she's just a teenager who died in the 80s. So they introduce her to like a teenager that's in the one of the cellar dwellers. Of course, we've never met.
Yeah.
So he walks up and she's like, ugh. And then he takes his glasses off. And it's just like that 1980s take your glasses off moment. And suddenly the nerdy girl is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Except he didn't change his appearance at all. He just took his glasses off. But in her mind, she's like, oh, my God, you're handsome now. So they do the sweet 16, the 16 candles, you know, sitting cross-legged in front of each other, you know, with the music playing in the background. Like, so that was funny.
Yep.
I'm curious if we'll see her again or how that's going to play out. But. Yeah.
I have a feeling that we'll see her again. She seems like a good type of recurring character.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, maybe, you know, some teenagers will like get in a horrible wreck and die and crash, you know, crash and die on the property out front. I mean, we don't know. That could happen someday. And they're like, well, that's great. You know?
Yeah.
Ghost is good. I enjoy the hell out of it.
I do as well. So let's see. We've got the two season finales and then two episodes of Ted Lasso. Where do you want to head?
Let's jump to Ted Lasso.
So you sent me a message that the first episode there, because we thought we were just watching the one, was phenomenal.
Oh, back last week?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think which that one was about. Oh, yes, yes. That's the one
no
where...
No curfew in Amsterdam.
No curfew, so it was a day off. Like, they lost yet another match, and they decided to go on a day off, or no curfew for everybody, and it was called The Sunflowers. That's the episode.
Oh,
they lost an exhibition game against Ajax in Amsterdam. So they're in Amsterdam. They lost the exhibition game. I like when the journalist asks Roy about what he thinks about losing the game, and he's just like, what game? What? That doesn't even count. So it's basically pretend, just like you don't count standing here asking me these pretend questions that don't matter.
Yeah, but they call them friendlies?
Yeah, friendlies. Yeah. Yeah, because that's what Ted Lasso goes, oh, you know, it's just an exhibition. Yeah, we lost a fucking friendly, you know, like.
One thing that kind of bothers me, just to throw it in there, is the fact that they do touch upon it, but Ted's been doing this now for a couple of years, and he still doesn't have the terminology down. Like, Beard, like, adapted very quickly, and Beard knows all this stuff, but Ted still struggles. He's like, well, what do they call them? They call them friendlies. Oh, wow. I'll never get used to that. Well, you've been doing this for years, man. Like, why haven't you picked up on it? Sorry.
Because we like the country bumpkin. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of it.
So he gives everybody the no curfew. And then the captain decides that the team is going to decide what they want to do together as a team. It's going to be unanimous. It's going to be team building. So they spend like all day and all night in the hotel trying to decide what they want to do. You know, no, some people want to go to a live sex show. Some people want to go to this, go to my cousin's, a friend of mine's band's concert, whatever, you know, 2 hours away. Let's go da, 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 da. So they finally decide they're going to go to the show 2 hours away, but they want to eat first now. And now they can't decide who's going to eat. And so, like, that's their whole deal, is trying to figure out what to do together as a team for their night off. Beardface makes – it's not Beard for say. I know. This is not Community. But Beard –
Scrubs.
He scrubs, yeah. Beard makes a tea for him and Ted to have that's like spiked with something in it.
It's mushroom tea. Ted says that he's finally reached a point where he realizes he's got to get out of his own head. Yeah. And Beard's like, I've been waiting for you to say that for forever.
So they make it. Ted doesn't want to drink it. Beard drinks it. And then Beard takes off by himself. He apparently goes out and he ends up being Piggy Stardust and having a grand old time. Mm-hmm. Colin heads out, says he doesn't feel good and sneaks out when everyone else is arguing over what they're going to do and goes to a gay bar. Trent spots him and then they talk about how Trent's gay and his troubles coming out and this and that. So that's their moment. Ted, hold on. This is my favorite part. This is when I said, this is awesome. Roy tells Jamie that no, they're not going to,
except for you, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're not going to have the night off. They're going to train all night. And so Jamie just accepts it and they start going for a jog around the city. And Jamie basically tires him out running. But while they're running around the city, he's like doing like a tour guide, like, oh, this is this and this is this and this is this. And it's hilarious. And then they decide that they're going to rent a couple bikes and go for a bike, you know, bike around the city because it's faster. Mm-hmm. And we find out that Roy doesn't know how to ride a bike because his dad was going to teach him and never did. And blah, 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 blah. Like Roy's whole speech about why he doesn't know how to ride a bike, how he starts it and then how he ends it is hilarious. Because by the time he gets to the end, he's like, oh, I guess this is the right time to learn how to ride a bike or whatever it is. And so Jamie teaches him to ride a bike. And that is when I died laughing.
It was so well done, too, because they didn't, you know, it wasn't going to take days to figure this out. He's a grown man.
Correct.
He's got coordination. But yeah, it was amazing.
Like my favorite of like Roy pedals ahead like 5 feet and just falls completely on his side. Doesn't stick his leg out. Doesn't put his arm out. It's just like comically down fast, hard on the ground. And then you fast forward to the most recent episode and Jamie's running and Roy's got a rope tied around him and he's pulling him while he's on a bike with his feet up, not on the pedals. So like Roy's still riding a bike apparently. And well, you know, this next, you know, several weeks later, but that whole Jamie teaching Roy to ride a bike was phenomenal. Like that's when I messaged you, like, this episode is phenomenal because I absolutely love that whole, that whole part. Oh, Rebecca falls off a bridge and ends up spending the night with a fella at his houseboat who makes her a meal and they clearly get along very well. That was cool. Ted drinks the tea. Then he goes to like that American restaurant where it's funny because like the guy's got a fake Southern accent and Ted's like, where you're from? And he's like, I'm from Australia. I'm just talking this way because this is my job. And but they're playing like an old Chicago Bulls game on TV that Ted remembers watching before. And then he has this eureka moment, which he comes up with Total Football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he thinks that it's unique.
Right.
He's incorrect.
But Beard tells him like, yeah, no, this is called Total Football. It was created in like 1970s the 1970s, whatever it was. By this blah, 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 blah. And we kind of get the whole history on it, you know, how it's completely different playing from normal football. And that brings us to, you know, the most recent episode, mm-hmm. where they introduce it to the team. And I love how, like, we're going to do this and blah, 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 blah. And everybody, like, Roy, like, first, like, the team's, like, excited with the PowerPoint and the video and the history of this. And, wow, that's fascinating. And then it's like, we're going to learn this. And they're like, no. And Roy's like, hey, we're going to blah, 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 card at this. He goes, and in a couple months, we'll implement it and this and that, everything. And Ted's like, oh, no, we're going to give it a shot this weekend. Well, we're just going to fucking fail. Like, I just loved. And I forgot that Roy's, like, allergic to whistles, the metal that they use to make whistles. So he yells whistle and doesn't actually blow a whistle.
Yeah.
Whistle. Or whistle. Yeah. He just whistle.
Whistle.
And they listen.
Line up.
The bar when the team's playing well, the bar's full. When the team's not playing well, the bar's empty, except mm-hmm. for those three diehard fans. They're like, hey, Ted, you know, we're sorry. Like, we cut you too much slack and this and that. We think us not being mean to you has really helped the team, you know, not do well. So we're going to be mean to you again.
Yep.
And then Ted invites them to practice. And Beard's like, is that really a good idea? And he's like, ah, it's their team. We're just borrowing it. Mm-hmm. So they go and watch practice and they can't believe it. And they're super pumped to be there. And Roy runs them all. So they just puke and drop, except for Jamie, because he's been running Jamie this hard for months. And then they do a scrimmage. And then there's another, like, the next day, like, cause they're trying to learn, like, this is your partner. You're going to switch roles with this person, blah, blah, blah. And so they tie their, they tie them together. They use a string to tie up an appendage in their pants to each other, not a leg, mm-hmm. and run around that way and play. And it's not going well. I love how, like, one of the members, like the fans that showed up, because now there's more fans at this nest practice, and he's got red string. And he's like, oh, who wants to do this with me? Everyone's like, no.
No.
And then I like how, like, the fans, like, decide they're going to swap roles. So the guy that's usually negative is now going to be super positive. And the super positive tries to be negative, but he's like, yeah, no, this isn't me. I don't know. It was funny. It was good. I enjoyed the hell out of this episode. Like, there's so many good, some great comedy. There's really good, I don't want to say moral moments, but there's some really good, like, little motivational, like, coachy pep talks in them, which is mm-hmm. awesome.
Yep.
When they make everybody swap roles, I like how Beard becomes the equipment manager, and the equipment manager kid becomes Beard, and even puts a fake paper beard on his face. That was hilarious, and talking him.
I was going to say he nailed it. You know, let's go, Beard! Amazing.
Yeah. I thought that was great. Trent, the reporter, really gets into this total football thing and the four steps, you know, and mm-hmm. like the team does not do well the first game. And then they're giving Jamie a bunch of shit because Jamie's role doesn't change. Jamie just needs to stay up front, you mm-hmm. know, and Jamie's like, no, my role's got to change, too. Like, that's, you know, it doesn't work if we don't all work. And it's funny because they're losing 3-0 in this game. And then Jamie, like, brings up, hey, we should do this. And they all listen to him. And so, like, oh, that's the fourth thing, you know, like, sacrifice, blah, blah, blah. And Ted's like, that's great, but nope. They go out, they score a goal. Really fun to watch, too, for instance. You know, like, I found, like, they scored, and I was like, yeah, wait, this is fiction, you know, like.
Yep.
I'm excited to see where the next couple episodes go. The bartender woman, she starts getting angry because people are leaving because they're losing, and she's getting frustrated and yelling at the TV or whatever. And the three guys are just like, well, no, hold on. Let's just see. Like, they're being absurdly optimistic instead of their normal selves, too. So I thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, Kaylee's dating the boss.
Yeah, that's, I don't know how I feel about that. The whole, her love bombing her, and, you know, they actually call it out. It doesn't go by the wayside. Jack admits it. Basically, she's like, yep, sorry, I'm kind of love bombing you. And they make a joke about it, but I'm still not sure, like, how I feel about it overall. I always liked Keeley with Roy. I thought they balanced each other out well. You know he wants to get back with her. But I don't know.
We'll see, I guess.
I saw a TikTok the other day that it was a girl, present day girl, talking to her 2020 self. And she's telling her 2020 self, just so you know, by 2023, Jamie Tart's going to be one of your favorite characters on the show. And her 2020 self's like, are you fucking kidding me? She's like, oh, and yes, by the way, you're going to love Trent Crim. Fuck you, I'll love Trent Crim.
I like that.
Yep.
But no, you're right. Jamie Tart has become one. I don't know. I'm sad that the show's going to be over. I like these characters a lot.
Same here. It's a wholesome show. They still have a lot of fun. There's so much swearing. They have great humor, but also like really dark humor, like the red string. On my notes, I just wrote the red string, dot, dot, dot.
Oh, my God.
His penis is okay.
Yeah. Like, Jamie, like we have that moment where like Jamie yells and then you look and you just see the string with the circle on the ground. And then they just look at him and he has like that Stand By Me moment where Will Wheaton reaches in and pulls the leech out, except instead he's just like, whoo. And then Ted goes to run on field and like just, he runs, you know, like takes out a couple of them.
You hear that crack.
Yeah.
That like,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then I like later on where Roy goes, hey, when we run that one back again, I think we should have the one guy and five guys tied to him.
Beard's like, I think that one's been played out, buddy. He's like, oh,
yeah. That was one that thing.
Like, Roy was literally laughing.
Yes. When Roy was standing there laughing, like that evil, like what, he's laughing.
He's like, oh, it was so good. It was so good. The show is just magic. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Watching Jamie come into his own, like you said, you know, running Roy ragged. Talking to him about windmills and about the history of the place and teaching him to ride a bike. Then they go share that moment. You know, that's the thing too. When Roy told him, not you, Todd, he wasn't like, he was like, okay. Cause he's dedicated to being a better player. So he knows that this is going to help him. And he is. Cause then he had that little speech at the halftime and he was like, no, you guys should be going through me, not to me.
Yep.
And It was great. So, you know, that's what we're going to end up seeing. Whether they win it all or not, they're not going to. But, you know, you're going to see that Jamie is a better person. He's a better teammate. He's a better coach. He might even move on to be captain. Who knows?
There was a couple other sub stories in there as well. Nate. Well, okay. I was going to say Sam. But, yeah, Nate. He eventually asks out the hostess at the restaurant. There's a Taste of Athens, his favorite restaurant.
Yep.
But of course we learn about his dad and how his dad did things and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And Nate's like, what if she says no or blah, blah, blah. Like his whole story about like how it could go wrong if he asks her out and she just simply says no. Like, whew, poor guy.
Felt that, didn't you?
Yeah. A little bit. Sam, he has his father's coming for a visit. And he has a successful restaurant and like this cabin, like basically they're in the storyline, Britain's closing their borders to all refugees. And, you know, like their cabinet is like refugees go home. And she tweets some and Sam tweets a comment to her like, you know, I think we could be better than this. And then she responds back basically like shut up and dribble.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he responds back. I mean, she like even like calls us a mediocre player on a mediocre team. And he's like, well, I'd rather be on a mediocre team than, you know, insults her or whatever. And it's this Twitter thing. And then someone breaks into his restaurant and destroys the majority of it and spray paints shut up and dribble on the wall and just vandalize it. And his spirits are dashed and crushed. And his dad shows up and he tells his dad, and his dad like comforts him, and they have a great moment. And then Ted goes to check on him. He's like, well, you don't have to practice today if you don't want to, blah, blah, blah. And Sam's like, oh, thanks, coach. And his dad's like, hell no, get out there and practice.
His dad is phenomenal. Julia, actually, we were talking about this, and she's like, I think they rewrote it. Because this is the first time we've ever seen him, but in the first season, he was very prominent because Sam was like, oh, I want my dad to be proud of me, you know, and his dad would say things like, I'm proud of you. But then he also had that whole text conversation where he was like, I can't believe that you're, you know, playing on a team that supports, because what was it? Dubai Air was their original sponsor.
Yes.
And Dubai Air's parent company was causing the destruction.
Yes. Yep.
And his dad was just like, I thought I raised you better than that through text. So, you know, we got the impression that he was like a real hard ass kind of guy. So when he showed up here and he was like joyous and boisterous, and I'm like, this doesn't seem like the same thing. She's like, I bet they rewrote his character. And I'm like, that's quite possible. But he was a delight. I loved when he met Rebecca and he just gave her the stare. He was just like, she's like, oh, my son's, your son's told me all about you. And he's like, yes, he told me about you too.
Did you make it awkward, Dad? Yeah, I mean, how could I not?
Yeah, he's like, how could I not? And he's like, okay.
So Sam eventually decides to go show his dad the restaurant, even though he, you know, it's been vandalized and damaged and everything. But the team's there and they're fixing it up. Mm-hmm. Because that's what, you know, that's what your teams do. You come together. So,
which in most other shows, you'd be like, oh, this is so cheesy. In Ted Lasso, it's perfect. It fits like that.
No, it absolutely works. It absolutely works. Yes.
Yep. In most other shows, because most of the shows, a team would, like, if you think about Major League, for instance, you know, the team was all in it for themselves. They didn't like each other. They were constantly fighting. So to have them come out of nowhere and like, let's all gather together and help our friend out would have felt very disingenuous. It would have felt very like pandering to the audience. In this case, it feels natural. It feels like, yes, that's exactly what his team would do. Like everybody loves Sam and they're all a family. So damn straight.
Anyhow, let's see. Do you want to do Picard or do you want to do Mando?
Let's do Picard.
Okay. I say, or did you want to do the movies and come back? But I think it's been long enough.
It's been long enough.
All right. So just summarizing it real quick without going into great detail. Did you enjoy the season of Picard?
Yes.
Me too. Did you enjoy these three seasons of Picard as a whole?
Yes. Yes. Each one of them had their own thing. The second season was the weakest.
Yes. But this season was also so far from what the majority of the characters, all the characters built in the first two seasons, weren't even there this season.
Except for Ravi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, well, and 7 of 9 was there before, but that's what I mean. Of all the new characters they introduced in seasons 1 and 2,
yeah,
and we didn't get in this season. You know, we got the Borg Queen by face at the end, but otherwise.
But it wasn't Jurati. You know, Jurati is fucking gone, and I love Jurati. I thought she was a great character until they made her take that turn where she's like, "I'll let the Borg Queen inhabit my body to help everybody."
Yeah, I liked her a lot too.
I loved the captain, who basically made every hologram on the ship a different version of himself. I missed him.
Yeah.
You know, would have loved to have had more of him.
Yeah. But there was so many characters that they developed in the first two seasons that, other than Raffi, we didn't get this season at all.
Picard's Romulan, the woman that, you know,
was, we saw her in the first episode.
Yep.
And that was it. Where they were going to go away together, and he's like, I have to go answer this. She's like, yes, you do. Go. Mm-hmm. I'd say as a whole, I'm glad we got it. I think they did the first two seasons and said, you know what, let's just go in this full-ass nostalgia run, shall we? And that's where we got the third season. Did you feel like the way they ended it, they were setting it up for more?
I think that they were setting it up that there could be more, but I don't know that they actually are going to do any more. It obviously won't be Picard because that story is over now and the show only got three seasons, but they could, you know, they absolutely left themselves a back door to have, you know, the Captain Seven of Nine show.
Yes. Yeah. With Jack and.
Well, and then we had the PS with Jack and Q.
Yes.
That could lead to more of that, you know, oh, Picard's trial was over, but yours has just begun. That was a cool nod.
And then what was the other teaser? Or
they did a whole big, long, drawn-out thing where they wouldn't tell us what Seven said when she, you know, gave the order to jump to light speed or jump to.
Oh, yes. Or, what her
captain send off.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, they made a big deal of that not being presented.
Yeah. Oh, Star Trek Legacy. Another spinoff is what they're talking about.
Oh, gotcha.
Did you hear about that?
No.
Star Trek Legacy may follow Seven of Nine, Raffi, and Jack Crusher.
Okay.
And the rest of the crew of the USS Titan, which is now called Enterprise G.
Which... I'm not a military man, nor am I a nautical man. However, I'm pretty sure that there is a long-standing rule that you do not rename a boat once it's been named.
It is bad luck to rename a ship. Yes, yes, it is.
And I would assume that tradition holds all the way through. So you've got something that is christened as the Titan, and you're like, nah, we're going to rename it. We're going to call it the Enterprise G.
Yep.
I don't know that that's the best decision. I don't think that, I mean, beyond just superstition, I think it's a little disrespectful. Like that guy was the captain of the Titan. Like they went out as the Titan. The Titan is the one ship that was able to fight back. Like,
right.
And now they're like, nope.
Yeah. It's bad luck to rename a ship. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. This episode opened with something, and I had to look it up to make sure, but it opened with one of the coolest nods that I have seen in a while. Like, this show was full of nostalgia anyway.
You leave it on.
Yes, I'll leave it on.
I said, well, you
my wife. Light,
and she went on off. And I was like, well, would you leave it on?
Nice. So there was an announcement across all emergency channels, basically saying that the young had taken over. They were all indoctrinated by the Borg. It was an address from President Anton Chekhov. And he was addressing, you know, Earth and talking about his father and how his father had done this, that, and the other thing. So I double checked and I looked it up. So Walter Koenig did the voice of President Chekhov. He played in the original Star Trek Pavel Chekhov.
Yes.
Now, in the remake of Star Trek, we had Pavel Chekhov being played by Anton Yelchin.
Yes.
Who tragically passed away in that accident with his vehicle. So, for them to say that Pavel Chekhov had a son named Anton Chekhov is fucking amazing.
Yep.
I love that. And the fact that they got Walter Koenig to play the voice was just like, it was such a subtle thing, but I think it was beautiful. I can't imagine that they named him Anton for any other reason than to honor Anton Yelchin. Like,
oh no, it had to be the only thing, only reason why, if you will.
Yeah. And so I think that that is beautiful. And I didn't see anything about that pop up in any of my news feeds. It's criminal that it was overlooked, but yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Yes. No, I thought that was awesome as well. I'm glad they did.
Yeah. Most of this episode was some of the best dialogue and banter between Riker and Worf that I've seen.
Oh, it was hilarious.
I actually wrote down some of the things.
Oh, good, because I could only summarize my memory, but like,
so like they're going over to the Borg ship, and Picard's like, by the way, called this, didn't I? I was like, yeah, I'm sure that like Picard's gonna have to go and have a one-on-one with Jack and kind of bring back his humanity and bring him back over. Yep, that's exactly what happened. Until he couldn't get all the way through to him, and Jack's like, I belong here, and Picard's like, then I'll stay here with you. No, and then friendship. But they were going over there, and Riker's like, well, I'm not letting you go alone. And Worf goes, I will make it a threesome. And Riker's just like, do you even hear yourself? Later, when they were walking the Borg cube, all the Borg were deactivated, like dead. And Riker was like, well, I was expecting more of a fight. Worf was like, you seem oddly disappointed that you aren't outnumbered. Then there was the scene where they were fighting, like they were trying to shut down the thing and expose the core for the Enterprise. Picard's off doing his stuff with Jack, and a Borg comes out of hibernation and comes after them, and they're fighting, and Worf takes a hit and he gets knocked down. Riker like grabs the Bat'leth and goes to fight with it, and he can't even pick it up, and he's like, I had no idea it was so heavy. And Worf's like, just pull the phaser out of the handle. And he pulls the phaser out, shoots the thing, and he's like, you had this there the whole time and you didn't use it. Worf just goes, swords are fun. Amazing.
There's another part where like they talked about going on the ship or going to battle, and Worf talked about, you know, being a we've got this, blah blah blah. It might have been the previous episode, and Worf like, you know, relayed his new sense of humanity or not kid, blah blah blah, and Riker's like, we're all gonna die, you know, like
yeah. Worf was actually a little disappointed that they weren't going to die today. Which I thought was also funny. One line that I did really like too was as they were walking off the bridge of the Enterprise D, was the computer said something, and Riker's like, oh, I missed that voice. Like, yeah, we all kind of did miss that voice.
Yeah.
The classic computer voice.
It was pretty formulaic, though, like you said. Mm-hmm. You know, the Borg, they get on the cube. Picard gets through to Jack. They stop the you know, they basically do their own Death Star drive as Data takes the ship and pilots it through the Borg cube to get to the core so he can blast it. And then they get out of there and they manage to, like, beam everybody off successfully, and the Borg queen dies, and as soon as the Borg cube and the queen dies and all the other people that are assimilated, they are no longer assimilated, and they realize, oh my God, look what I did. And yeah, a lot of people died. A lot of people died, but the Earth wasn't destroyed. And
by the way, did you find it a little bit incredulous that the space station that was protecting the Earth, the one space station, remember, we're in space here. There's like infinite area that you can go to. So all of the ships were fighting the one space station, and this was the entire fleet in perfect unison attacking the space station, and it never went down.
Oh, it did at the end.
It did finally.
It did at the end, but it took way too long.
Way too – like – what kind of technology is that? Why isn't that on all of their ships?
Yeah, right.
Holy right. Jesus. Like, this, you know, was the whole fleet focus firing on this thing with Borg precision.
Yes, yes, I agree. And the Titan did some sweeps blasting at ships, and that would have distracted a few of them, but still, like, yep, yeah.
I saw a nice little clip of that whole thing with Data flying through the Borg cube like that. Synced up to I'm Holding Out for a Hero.
Oh,
it definitely works. It definitely works. Yep.
I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of it. You know, a lot of feel good moments. you know, seeing the, not the original Enterprise, but, you know, seeing their original Enterprise.
Yep.
You know, I enjoyed it. I'm really looking forward to June with Strange New Worlds. Very excited for that to come back. So I'm glad we have more Star Trek, and Star Trek's not done. I know we're getting a couple more new series allegedly, or maybe that one series is now a movie, but I don't need any more Picard.
Nope. No, and they gave it a good send off, including the poker game at the end. That was a perfect way to end it, because it's how they did so much of their Enterprise stuff.
I think this ended better than the Next Generation ended.
Yes. Yep.
But I do not need any more Picard. I do not need these characters anymore. I don't even need a Star Trek Legacy with Seven of Nine and Jack Crusher and Rafe and I don't even need that. I don't even need Discovery. Strange New Worlds, and if they have a new property, I'll check that out at some point. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's time to do another new Star Trek series, something that takes place after Picard now, but before the future world that Strange New Worlds, Discovery's in.
Right.
You know,
I could see that.
Or could run, because it's not like Picard and his crew are the only people out there.
Right.
You know, you could really run a second Star Trek series taking place kind of during any time that runs parallel to the original series or Picard or Deep Space Nine or whatever. Do you think another Deep Space Nine series could work?
Yeah.
I'm surprised it worked the first time.
I was going to say, it's hard when, okay, so the draw of things like Star Wars, Star Trek, is the ability to travel to different lands, you know, to go anywhere you want. When your whole thing is based around a space station, it's a little bit harder. Like, especially in a world where the main draw is exploring. I think that it would be a harder sell.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. I do think it's funny that no matter what space show you watch, when they go to a planet, there's only like one civilization on the planet.
Yeah. It's the same way, like, just to use video games as a reference, like, they'll have these games where you touch down on an alien planet, and you're like, okay, I'm coming into this alien planet. And then you look at the map, and you're like, okay, this area wouldn't even cover Augusta, Maine. Like, this is like a 5-square-mile block, and this is supposed to be the entire planet? Like, no, that's not an alien planet. Same way here, you know, there's one civilization. Really? Does that mean that one civilization wiped out every other intelligent species? And then wiped out every other intelligent species and then said, and we're going to go to war with anybody who doesn't agree with our ideals.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way.
No, it does not.
Mando, are we done Picard? I feel like we're done Picard.
Let me double check my notes, but yeah.
Okay.
So Mando.
Mando, what'd you think of that?
My very first note was, well, that wrapped up nicely.
Really?
Not necessarily in a incredulous way, but you know, you and I both talked about the problem with the penultimate episode in that they introduced Moff Gideon's grand plan and all these Beskar clad stormtroopers essentially that had jetpacks and such. We essentially got introduced to this huge formidable force, 3 Praetorians, Moff Gideon in Beskar armor, and our heroes were fucked 6 ways from Sunday.
Oh yeah.
And then we have one episode left to resolve it, and in 30 minutes, they resolved everything. It kind of bothered me, not going to lie. Not enough to make me hate it, But it bothered me that it was the 11th hour when they introduced this new threat, and then to wipe the floor with it, with, by the way, only one loss. The only one that the Mandalorians really lost that mattered was the heavy gunner, which I can't remember his name, like Rex or something.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
And that was in the end of episode 7.
Yep.
He met his end doing the, you know, hero last stand to hold everybody off. And otherwise, like, we didn't even lose Axe, who was piloting their flagship on a suicide mission into the heart of the base.
Yep.
Which apparently, by the way, he was written out in season 2. Like, he was supposed to die in season 2, and they kept him on instead.
Oh, okay.
So he
good thing. Still alive. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought he was gonna do the hero ending and like pilot it down there. Nope, he jumped out and jetpacked away.
We did get to see Grogu use a pretty cool force.
You mean jumping and then jumping more and then running around back and forth?
Force field. He used the force to make the force field.
Oh yes, yes.
With a blast. That was cool.
Yep. That was cool. Absolutely.
That was cool.
I'm sorry, who did that?
Grogu, I said.
No, that's Din Grogu now.
Sorry, sir. Din Grogu.
Yes.
Yep.
This is also like the second or third time that Mando has picked a fight with the armorer. Like, when he wanted him to play the paintball game, and he's like, you know, I want him to fight. She's like, he's too little. And he's like, he can jump around. She's like, okay. And now he's like, I want him to take the oath. She's like, he can't talk, so he can't take the oath. Yeah, but he's my son. Well, he's not really your son. Well, then I adopt him. Okay, then he's a Mandalorian. Like,
yeah.
Jesus.
This is the way.
Yeah, she doesn't stand her ground at all. She's like, you can't do this. And he's like, yes, I can. She's like, okay, you can.
You've convinced me.
It's like he has Jedi mind tricks.
I do like how they basically, you know, they sum it up like, well, you can't stay on Mandalore because now you have to go out and train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
we'll
stay
here, but
yeah. IG-11 got rebuilt to be the new sheriff of Navarro.
Yep.
That's cool.
Because they found his a spare IG head.
Yep.
Sitting on a trophy wall in the bar with the Republic fighters.
Yeah, because he goes to see Carson Teva to basically be like, hey, I'm a bounty hunter by trade. I need some work. I'll do the stuff that you guys can't do if you just send them my way. Oh, you're working with the New Republic? Nope. Just looking for honest work.
And then again, he Jedi mind tricks him because Carson Teva's like, well, I'll have to talk to some people and see if this works because you already made your decision. He's like, okay, then. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. So he's taking that land that Greef Karga gave him, and he's got his cabin there. And Grogu's playing with frogs at the end again, and they're sitting on the porch rocking.
I actually wrote in my notes, I was like, I had forgotten that he was a bounty hunter to begin with.
Yes.
Like, that was way back in the beginning of the first season, and then since then, there hasn't really been any bounty hunting.
So, let me ask you this. If this was the last season of the show, was that a satisfactory ending?
Yes.
They wrapped everything up.
Yep.
I think when they wrote this with the intention of, like, okay, we don't know if we're getting another season. We don't know what's happening. But, you know, Mandalore's back. They're going to repopulate Mandalore and try and bring Mandalore back from the brink. And the different tribes of Mandalorians are getting along. The Mando has adopted Grogu as his son. They're going to go bounty hunt and train and live happily ever after. It's satisfactory.
Yep. Yeah. I would be okay if it didn't come back. I would definitely watch more if it did, but that was a perfectly acceptable ending to this. I was a little bummed that Boba Fett didn't show up in this. He was apparently supposed to, but nobody called him to Moa.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, when you're dealing with Mandalorians, you've got the guy who's wearing the original badass suit of Mandalorian armor. You would right. think that they would want something, like, even just to go to Tatooine and be like, hey, we're going to be taking back Mandalore. You got any interest? No. Okay, bye.
I honestly, I'm not saying I forgot about, but it never crossed my mind that he wasn't there.
Well, considering that his show didn't get good until they brought the Mandalorian and Grogu back into it.
Yeah, and it's not the character's fault. It's just, yeah.
It's the writers. So, yeah, I think that this would have been a satisfying ending. Now that we've gotten the announcement that they're going to have more movies, that they're going to have a movie that ties in Book of yeah. Boba Fett, Mandalorian, Ahsoka, it's possible that we won't get any more seasons of this because they're going to have to, like, it wouldn't make sense to try to write more seasons while they're also working on a movie.
Right.
So I think
we could get more seasons after the movie.
Yes. Which they may do.
Yep.
I think Ahsoka is going to do really well.
It's like the Defenders, you know, we got the first season of Daredevil. And we got the first season of everybody. Maybe even gotten the second season of Daredevil.
We did.
And then we got the Defenders.
Yep.
And then we got the second seasons of the rest of the shows, plus the plus Punisher and everything. So, I mean, like.
Yep.
movies?
Just checking. Oh, real quick. To find out that Gideon's plan was that he was trying to clone himself with an infusion of the Force. Like, they hurriedly wedged in why he was looking for Grogu in the first place. Because he was basically yes. looking for somebody who was strong in the Force so that he could extract...
How metachlorians.
Yeah, and infuse his clones so that he could have himself in Beskar armor, using the Force, the ultimate Force in the universe. It was kind of wedged in there at the last minute. So
yes, it really was.
It bothered me, but yeah. And then they killed his clones just by like basically hitting a button and purging all the tanks. And he's like, "You killed them all before they could even draw their first breath." Okay, calm yourself.
And they did.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very short breath, but.
But yes, that was Moff Gideon's plan was kind of, yeah. And, you know, we did not get a resolution on, like, the spy girl, if you will, that worked for Moff Gideon, that was with the New Republic. Like, we didn't get a conclusion there.
Nope. We did not.
That did not get wrapped up like a little, nice little bow.
Maybe we'll see her. No. I was going to say maybe we'll see her in Andor, but Andor took place way before this.
Yep. Yes. No, it did. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, we are getting a second season of Andor. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say movies.
All right. So what three movies did you watch? I know one of them.
The three movies that I watched were Evil Dead Rise.
Okay. We'll talk about that later.
I watched Ghosted.
We watched that as well.
Okay. And I watched Luck on Apple TV Plus.
Did not watch that one. So what's that one about?
Luck is the story of good luck and bad luck. It has a girl who just aged out at a orphanage. So she turned 18. She can't be at the orphanage anymore. She spent most of her life at an orphanage. She's had a string of bad luck. Like, she's one of these people that anything that can go wrong goes wrong. This is animated, by the way.
I'll say, is this a cartoon? Because I think I found it.
Yes. Yep. Simon Pegg plays a Scottish black cat, which in Scottish society, black cats are lucky versus the rest of the world that thinks they're unlucky. And it was delightful. This was a top-notch, delightful movie. Jane Fonda plays the luck dragon. Whoopi Goldberg plays the captain of the leprechauns. It was so enjoyable. It was so good. Julia loved it. It was just, it was delightful. It was fun. It was heartwarming. It was funny. Gave some good insights onto luck, you know, thinking about how you've got shitty luck or you've got good luck and how, you know, depending on how you look at it, it can be different things. Yeah, it was great. If you want a good feel good family movie, watch this. It was great.
I'll do a few of my movies.
Please do.
So I watched Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection. Oh, I guess I'm up to 18 movies. Prometheus and Alien Covenant.
Okay.
Because I bought this, you know, the six pack of movies. I had watched Alien a while ago.
Okay.
Alien is a fantastic film. The original, the introduction, fantastic film. Aliens, very good movie.
Oh.
Very good movie. Like, really enjoyed Aliens a lot. Alien 3.
Bleh.
That didn't need to get made.
Nope.
I mean, Alien and Alien 2, they're on a spaceship. They go on a planet, but they're back on the spaceship. So it's a horror movie of sorts because they're in a finite space battling this alien. They're not like on a planet somewhere.
Alien 2, they were on a planet, but they were in a station on the planet.
It's similar to like The Thing.
Yeah.
You know, because of weather.
Still an enclosed space.
An enclosed space, yeah, right.
Claustrophobic. Yeah, I gotcha.
You get that. Okay, so Alien 3, they're also like, they're at this, you know, they end up on this penal colony planet that's all men. There's no women there. Yeah. It shows up. The story's weak sauce. I mean, like, it's just, and of course, yeah.
And it's not even Ripley.
No, it isn't. It isn't this. It's her. In the end, she kills herself because she has an alien queen inside her, and she falls into the molten lava pit of steel as it bursts out of her, and she holds on to it, and she dies. Alien Resurrection is when they take her DNA and clone her.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's the one where, like, we see that she's been cloned a ton of times until we get this Ripley that's – and this one is, yeah, not great. Prometheus, not a great flick.
Oh, I hated Prometheus.
Yeah. Alien Covenant, that's pretty good. You know?
Didn't watch it.
You should. I'll give that one credit. That one was pretty damn good. I was surprised. Like, if I had to rate the Alien movies, taking Predator versus Alien out of it, because I love both of those movies, it's definitely Alien, and then Aliens, and then Alien Covenant, and then the rest three are garbage. Who gives a shit? Okay, so on the Shudder, I watched The Apology, which was interesting. It wasn't a horror. It was more like a psychological thriller. It was okay. Basically, this woman's daughter disappeared 20 years ago, and like the ex-husband of her best former friend showed up to talk to her and basically is going to tell her how her daughter died because he's responsible for it.
Okay.
And he just wants her to listen to what he has to say, and she doesn't want to listen. And it was okay. It was just okay. I watched two anthology movies called Scare Package and Scare Package 2. These are stupid, funny. They're Shudder originals. Basically, you have I would say watch them. I'll read this here. The film is presented as an anthology of short horror films built into a framed narrative, which acts as its own horror film. The main narrative is about Chad Buckley. He's a horror movie aficionado who runs a video store. He hires a new guy. He has an obnoxious regular customer that comes in all the time who's wanted to work there for years, and Chad won't hire him. And then, like, the horror movies that we see, the little short horror films that we see throughout are either described by customers or told to each other or whatever it is. Quite frankly, I enjoyed both of these movies very thoroughly. I'm not going to tell you what the second one's about because that kind of gives away what happens in the first one a little bit near the end. But
okay.
These are fun, campy horror stuff, kind of like Tucker and Dale versus Evil or Slither or whatever. It's campy comedy with horror elements, and a couple of the horror like short stories in there, they're really good. Like they're very well done for what they are, you know. And then the overarching little in-between bits and how the stories kind of all combine together, and you know, we get a Joe Bob Briggs cameo. Nothing wrong with that, playing Joe Bob Briggs.
nice.
Yeah, so I enjoyed both of these films very solidly, and it's definitely worth your time there. So I got some Steven Seagal movies.
Wow.
Because I felt like watching some old Steven Seagal flicks. So I watched Above the Law and Out for Justice. I watched Hard to Kill and Under Siege a few months ago with Kanan. And they're still, those are still solid movies. But these are definitely like Steven Seagal had his like, this is my high virtue of thinking. And I'm going to relay that to you by kind of preaching at you in my movies. Mm-hmm. You know, as a 43-year-old, they're not as good as or cool as they were when I was like 13.
Fair enough.
I'll leave it at that. But I was discussing Steven Seagal with a buddy of mine, and he's the only one of like those 80s action heroes that like he came out of the gate running. You know, he had Above the Law was his first movie, then Hard to Kill, Out for Justice, Marked for Death. And then he started kind of going downhill pretty quickly. And then, like, you know, he did like Under Siege and people loved that. And then he followed that up with some garbage. And then he tried to like kind of come back with The Glimmer Man. And it was still kind of neat. But like he went from being like, and as a big guy, I'm going to say he went from being thin, in shape, could fight, could move, to less than 10 years later, overweight, can't move, can't fight like he used to. Yeah, he went downhill hard.
Mm.
Right to B movies, unlike like say Stallone or Schwarzenegger or Van Damme or other, you know, others in that run, Schwarzenegger, whatnot. Yeah, so they're, I mean, I don't know, I enjoyed them. I enjoy those movies, but yeah, they're just okay. Yeah. Oof, you want to talk about Ghosted?
Sure.
Go for it.
Ghosted was a movie that I watched on Apple TV Plus. Long story short, I loved it. I thought this was great. This was an action spy movie. Chris Evans and Ana de Armas are the main characters. They did a great gender flip where, the typical movie would be that you've got the guy who's a secret agent and the girl that falls for him, and then she doesn't know that he's a secret agent. And then when she learns it, she gets dragged into all these problems. And this was a flip where she's the secret agent, and he's just the hapless, bumbling, you know, Mr. Hopeless Romantic, but also kind of an idiot. And it was delightful. It was super fun. It was... what am I trying to say? It was a super fun movie that had great action, great comedy. The plot moved right along. The villains were, villainous, and they did a good job of that. It was weird to see Adrian Brody going from being a villain in the beginning of Poker Face to then basically being the exact same character here. It's almost like he was on.
Oh yeah.
It was almost like he was on set for one or the other and was like, hey, let me just walk over here and, do the exact same thing on a different show. So he does it well. He does the villain well. I can't say enough about it. It's still fairly new, so I don't want to go into too much detail, but it's a delight. Like, his family was awesome. She was great. Definitely, like I said, it was a good gender flip. She was definitely the compartmentalized, no nonsense, heart closed off person. Yep. And,
So Chris Evans, obviously, Captain America,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was great in his role in this movie. I loved, without going into detail, I loved some of the other Marvel actor cameos that we got.
Oh my god. On. Oh,
like, I had to explain it to Kate, but like I died laughing. absolutely died laughing through all of those. They're uh-huh. freaking fantastic.
Same.
Fantastic. I enjoyed the movie thoroughly and Kate enjoyed the movie, but it's not like, whew, that's going on my rewatch list.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe someday, but it's not like, I gotta watch this again right off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you.
But I get what you're saying. Like, don't want to give away too much, but I will say it's definitely worth your time to watch the movie.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I watched a movie called Bloody Muscle Bodybuilder in Hell.
What?
Bloody Muscle Bodybuilder in Hell.
Okay.
It's also known as The Japanese Evil Dead.
What?
Yes. Yep. So I heard about this movie a couple years ago and could never find it anywhere. It came out in like 1985, but it didn't come out in 1985. The date on it they have is 1985, but it really came out just a few years ago because it was in post-production for so long. Because basically you have a guy, this guy, actor, it's a Japanese movie. He loves him some Evil Dead movies. This movie is completely and totally an homage to Evil Dead movies, except instead of Evil Dead demons, it's ghosts in this house. Okay. And the movie's only like 65 minutes long. You know, it's just, it is not. It was fun to finally watch the movie that I'd heard so much about. But basically, it's like if you and I loved The Evil Dead, we made this really cheesy homage movie with different moments or outfits or whatever, with a decent story, but we had no budget. So it looked really low budget and it looked really bad. This would be that movie.
Okay.
So I'm glad to have finally watched it. It's on Shudder if anyone else wants to watch it. But it's not like I need to see it again ever.
Okay.
Kate, I got a couple red box. Oh, so Kanan and I watched Quasi. Did I talk? No, I didn't talk about it before.
You told me at the movie theater, but we did not talk about it.
We watched Quasi, which is the Hunchback of Notre Dame character Quasimodo. It's the Broken Lizard movie. It's on Hulu. It's only been out a couple weeks, so I won't go into great detail other than say it's funny. It is absolutely Broken Lizard. Every Broken Lizard team member plays two different characters in the movie.
Just two?
Yeah, they each play two roles.
Okay.
In the film, which is pretty funny. Was it Adrian Pilecki? She's like the leading lady in it. It takes place during that time in France, you know, where Quasimodo is a torturer and the Pope's coming to town and the King's coming to town or the King's there. And Quasi's being forced between the two of them for reasons I won't get into. It's stupid. It's funny. It's absolutely a Broken Lizard film. And is it the best one they've ever done? Absolutely not. Is it worth your time watching if you're a fan of theirs? Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there have been a few that they've made that are not really worth watching.
Well, they haven't really made a whole lot, but they had Puddle Cruiser. That was their first flick. And Super Troopers 1 and 2. Beer Club Dread, Beer Fest.
I don't consider Beer Fest worth watching.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'll give you that one.
Club Dread was okay, but it was like it was a rough sell.
Yeah. But this is good. This is good.
Okay.
Charge. Oh, I rented a couple red boxes.
Okay.
I got the new Brandon Cronenberg flick Infinity Pool.
Okay.
Absolutely a Cronenberg movie. Holy cow. I enjoyed it quite thoroughly. Like with any Cronenberg movie, though, it's like you don't need to watch that real close to each other, you know, like you can wait a few years, but it's definitely where it's, it'll definitely garner a rewatch in a couple of years time, probably.
Okay.
I think they've, I mean, I don't really want to give it away. But I feel like it's been out there enough where I'm really not giving anything away. Novelist James Foster and his wife M spend time at a resort in a fictional seaside country of Lituoka, where there's a local festival underway. The couple's chronic marital strife is exasperated when Gabby, a fan of the only novel James has ever published, invites him to spend time with her and her husband, Albin. The four have dinner and decide to spend the next day driving through the countryside, even though they've been warned that tourists are to remain on the resort compound at all times. So, of course, you know, things go wrong. Then there's a weird Cronenberg twist. And then you're just like, all right, that's kind of neat. All right, cool. And then shit just kind of goes off the walls.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it pretty thoroughly.
Cool.
I watched Pearl. Because I chose to. I heard good things about it.
Okay.
The Mia Goth flick with what's his name? It's like it's the prequel to X.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the Maxine with three X's coming out, you know, as the end of the trilogy. I think it's Ty West is the fella's name.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I think if you watch this first, then you watch X, I think it helps explain X quite a bit more. At least it makes sense. The Pearl character at times can be very annoying. But it's a pretty decent story. It's done well. I will say this, Maya Goth is pretty damn fantastic as that character in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting near the nitty gritty. So Kate and I watched the Boston Strangler movie on. Oh, it's just called Boston Strangler on Hulu.
Okay.
Really good flick. Go watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about the Boston Strangler. It's got Keira Knightley and Carrie Coon in it, and Bill Camp, Chris Cooper, you know, Rory Cochrane, a bunch of people are in it. It's about Keira Knightley's character is Loretta McLaughlin and Carrie Coon's character is Jean Cole, and they're the ones that like broke the article and put it together of these killings in the Boston area that could be all one person, and she's the one there, Keira Knightley's character, again, who plays Loretta McLaughlin, is the one that coined the term the Boston Strangler.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the cases are still open. This movie kind of dives into that, you know, and the different people that it could have been, and one person it was connected to initially, and so on and so forth, and what have you. And I don't know. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Okay. I know Julie is a good fan, a big fan of good true crime kind of stuff. So
she'll like it then. It was a very well done movie. Very well done movie.
Okay.
And then the only other thing I have to talk about besides Evil Dead Rise is Kids versus Aliens.
That sounds familiar.
We've seen the trailer. It's a Jason Eisner flick. Well, he directed it, and John Davies and Jason Eisner, they wrote it together. I'm trying to think what else Eisner did. He did Hobo with a Shotgun.
And that I recognize.
Yes, and he's also done the let's see here. He's done like shorts and ABCs of Death and VHS and VHS 2. He's done a lot recently that I'm a huge fan of is the Dark Side of the Ring documentaries on Viceland, Rustling mm-hmm. Stories, of course. But like this Kids versus Aliens movie started out as a short in VHS, and it spun off to this movie. And VHS was called Slumber Party Alien Abduction. It's a very hard R-rated movie.
Okay.
I enjoy it thoroughly. It's literally kids that have to fight these aliens, but it's not done in a way that makes you roll your eyes, to be honest. Because why would I lie? Do you have Shudder?
I don't think that I do anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. It's a really good movie. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm looking forward to watching this one with Kanan or Addison, quite frankly, in a couple months. Just give myself a little bit of a break. But yeah, it was really, really good. Really good.
Ooh, nice.
And there's a pro wrestling element in it. So.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
And then Evil Dead Rise.
Evil Dead Rise.
I don't know how much you want to or don't want to talk about this, but overall, what did you think of the movie?
Overall, this was definitely a horror movie. This had some pinnings of an Evil Dead movie. Definitely did not go with the comedy aspect of it, went more with the horror.
Well, just like The Evil Dead, not the remake, but the Fed Alvarez flick were,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was definitely pure horror.
Correct. It was definitely a horror movie, and I can appreciate it for that, because it seems like lately, in the past several years, people are like, oh man, I love horror movies. Oh yeah, what's your favorite? Hereditary. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
man, I love horror movies. All of the Conjuring series, go fuck yourself. You know, I want a horror movie. I want a horror movie. I don't want something with just like random jump scares of a black cat running across the screen. You know, I want something that is truly going to, you know, make my toes curl and make me go, holy shit. Wow. You know, for instance, I'll just say the glass pieces in the throat.
Whoa.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, that's the reaction that I'm looking for with a horror movie. Not necessarily something that makes you just like vomit. It doesn't have to be gross for gross sakes, but I want something that is a horror, you know? Dismemberment, blood, guts, people like just like no hope. This was a hopeless situation. I don't want to see you know, Paranormal Activity. Stop. Like, to me, that's not a horror movie. That's a psychological thriller at best, with a supernatural twist to it. But yeah, what did you think?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. I want to watch it again sooner than later. I might even go back to the theaters and watch it, because I just want to see what I missed. I don't feel like this damaged the history of the Evil Dead whatsoever, because I think about what Bruce Campbell said before the Fed Alvarez Evil Dead movie came out in 2013, which is like, you know, the book finds its way to somebody to unleash the evil. Mm-hmm. And rather it's Ashley Williams or somebody else, the book finds its way. And in this movie, the book found its way to somebody else. And, you know, they found the book is somehow read, let's just say it that way, and the evil spirits are unleashed, and of course it comes to those that unleash them. That's where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the evil spirits did, and did the same thing it did in Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 and Evil Dead 2013,
mm-hmm.
which is possess and destroy and kill and maim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, going all the way back to Sam Raimi's Evil Dead, when the evil possessed the living, it went out of its way to harm its own host, not caring about the quality of the host body it's possessed, which is the same thing it's always done, which does it again in this movie, you know? And I enjoyed it thoroughly. I want to go see it again. When we left, Addison wanted me to rate where I like this movie in comparison to the others. Like if I were to like rate them in order, where would this one fall? And I don't know if I can do that, quite frankly, because I love the original Evil Dead so much. And that tells its own story going to Evil Dead 2 and then Army of Darkness and then Ash versus Evil Dead, the series. Like that is an encapsulated story. It's not like Halloween movies where Michael Myers is in all of them. And so which Michael Myers killer do I like the most? You know what I mean? Or Jason Voorhees or Nightmare on Elm Street. Like that's the same killer in all of them. And this one, I guess technically the same killer is the evil spirits. But so for me, like, Evil Dead, the original run, the Bruce Campbell, Ashley Williams run is its own thing. And then you have the Fed Alvarez Evil Dead story and you have this Evil Dead Rise. And I guess I don't think I could rate them in any particular order. If I wanted to rate, did I like Evil Dead 2013 better than Evil Dead Rise? Yes. I think I liked Evil Dead 2013 better than Evil Dead Rise.
Okay.
It's darker. But I've only ever seen Evil Dead Rise once. I've seen Evil Dead 2013 20 times, you know. So I think I need to see the other one again more to try to rate that, you know. Like, cause she rattled off like her favorite order of the Scream movies. But again, you're dealing with the same killer. You're dealing with the same, you know what I mean? So like that, I think you can rate that. But I don't know. What's your thought?
No, I get that. I'm going to be in the same camp because they are completely different kind of things, and not just saying, you know, oh, well, I'm loyal to Bruce Campbell. It's not that at all. Like,
right.
The original trilogy, if you will, was created, you know, he tried to make a horror movie and ended up saying, wait, I should remake this as a comedy horror movie. And then Army of Darkness came from that, continued the story. Beautiful. Those were their own things. Fed Alvarez did a version that was a horror movie that said The Evil Dead. But again, if you said rank your favorite Star Wars, okay, that well, it's hard, but it's still, they're all contained in the same universe. You could give different reasons for different ones. I think with these, it's harder to do that.
Yes.
It's along the same lines as saying, rate your favorite X genre of movie. You know, rate your favorite action movie.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot about each one of them that could be different.
Right.
Like, that's a broad thing. So, yeah, I think I would have a hard time as well because I wouldn't feel right comparing them to each other. Like, I can't put this most recent Evil Dead Rise against Army of Darkness.
No.
You're comparing apples to oranges.
Right. Yeah. Army of Darkness. Yes. You're dealing with the Necronomicon and the forces of the evil and the Deadites and this and that. But
and green screen that was horrible. You say rank the 6 Scream movies, rank the 10 Fast and Furious movies. Sure. Absolutely. Because, you know, they're all in the same universe. They've got similar actors. They're trying to do the same thing, you know, so it's easy to do that. But to say, you know, rank all of these movies that have something to do with Evil Dead. No,
I can't do it.
I hope that you looked at her and said, I can't do that, honey. And that was a dumb question. And you should feel dumb for having asked it.
No, I didn't say that. I said,
is that because she's only 14? You didn't want to hurt her feelings?
Well, I mean, she's my daughter and I love her. And she was excited about the movies. And so I don't want to discourage that.
Fair enough.
But I really couldn't do that. They're just too different.
Too broad, they really are.
It's just, it's hard.
Yep.
So. I think I said I really need to watch it again to really make my decision.
I look forward to hearing from you when you do watch it again and, you know, let me know what you decide.
Movies and trailers.
Movies and trailers. We had to go back a ways on this one.
Yes.
I think the first thing that I had sent after we last recorded was the thing about Jonathan Majors being dropped by his talent agency and PR firm. Not having a good one. I've seen some posts online. People are, I believe, kind of rightly pissed because they're saying, why is it that, you know, he hasn't even gone to trial yet and he's being dropped, which absolutely, you know, I get that. But Ezra Miller is being praised, his movie's coming out, and Warner Brothers is like going on a press tour saying, yeah, Ezra Miller's trying to get the help that they need. And, you know, a lot of growth has happened and we support Ezra Miller. And it's a bit of a double standard.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And I realize the Jonathan Majors thing, everything's new, so everyone's kind of jumping on that. Like, we don't know what's going on. And the Ezra Miller thing's been kind of milling around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And there's been no real further action on it. So maybe that's why they're like, oh, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. So.
Maybe. I don't know. So Jonathan Majors, we might not see Kang after all. You know, this might be the end. He might get dropped by Marvel. James Gunn was dropped by Marvel and then, you know, taken back a little while later. But that was based on an old tweet that somebody dug up of his.
I hate that shit. I hate that so much.
Let's see. Galaxy Quest TV series is in the works at Paramount Plus.
Yep.
Cool.
I mean, are they going to have anyone? It's got to start over, basically.
It would. But, you know, look at all the success that they've had with the different Star Trek spinoff series. So it could be possible. It could be that they make a Galaxy Quest TV series that is just the show that everybody fell in love with. And they use younger actors.
Yeah.
This was an interesting one. That Michelle Yeoh is coming back in Section 31 movie rather than TV series.
Yes, that's what I meant earlier when I said spinoff TV series. Well, I guess it's a movie now.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed about that. Not going to lie, like I would have liked to have seen that full series. But
yeah, me too, but maybe this is better.
Yeah. We're getting a Knuckles TV series, you know, from the Sonic movies. We're going to have Knuckles. It won't be Idris Elba. It's somebody else doing the voice. Adam Pauly is going to be Wade Whipple, the incompetent sheriff's deputy.
Yep.
Cool. You sent me a couple of trailers.
I'm still scrolling back because I accidentally hit the down arrow and pushed me all the way to the bottom again. Because we really talked a lot, apparently.
Well, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We're on April 19th. You sent me the trailer for FUBAR.
There we go, FUBAR. I'm trying to remember that one.
Schwarzenegger?
Yes, but it's a TV series.
This was the Schwarzenegger one.
Yeah.
Which, again...
Yes, Schwarzenegger is a TV series. He's like a CIA agent, and he finds out that his daughter is as well.
And neither one of them knew that the other one was. Kind of thing.
They find out when he's on like a mission, and he runs into her.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this. Comes out May 25th, 8 episodes.
I'll probably watch it.
I'm going to check it out at the very least.
Strange New World Season 2 got a trailer. I did not watch it. Because I'm so stoked for this show, I don't need to see a thing.
I wasn't going to watch it, and then I did, and then I got teary-eyed somehow, and I'm like, what the hell is happening to me?
Wow.
I'm very excited.
Do you know now why you got teary-eyed?
No. I know why. It hit me emotionally. Okay. It's so awesome. But I just meant, why is this happening? No, it looks phenomenal. I don't feel like I saw any spoilers. I just feel like I saw awesomeness. And also, they made a big deal in Picard about what the captain's going to say. Well,
yes.
They show that in the trailer where Spock is in the captain's seat and they turn to him and say, like, well, what are you going to say? And he's just like,
oh. Boy, so
I would like
really...
the ship to go now, please.
That sounds about right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quasi, I shared you the trailer, but the movie's already out.
Yep.
Reality.
This is the one with Sidney Sweeney. It's a true story. It's recorded by the FBI. Looks interesting. It was just a little teaser, but it looks interesting. I don't know if I'm excited to watch it or not, but.
Well, with the HBO Max news of the HBO Max and Discovery Plus merging to just become Max, and that's going to take place in May, and it's automatically going to switch over, and yada, 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 yada. So then they released a bunch of Max trailers and news and everything.
Yep.
There's a Joe Blow news, more victims, Jonathan Majors, but you kind of already talked about that. All the light we cannot see.
Yeah, when I hear a title like that, I think something that's like hippy dippy, you know, or going to be like, you know, a truly inspirational feel good movie. Now, it's based on a novel. Over the course of a decade, limited series interweaves the lives of a blind French girl taking refuge with her uncle during World War II and a German teenager expertise in radio repair. So it's basically seeing the two of them connect over a decade. Not what I was expecting.
No, not what I was expecting either.
But it's got Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, it's got Mark Ruffalo. That's true. True. Yeah. High Desert. It's a comedy series with Patricia Arquette, Matt Dillon, Brad Garrett, Jay Roach is directing it.
Yep. Follows an on again, off again addict, makes a new start at the death of her beloved mother with whom she lived with. She decides to become a private investigator this late life.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what her background is. I know that different states have different rules, but like Maine, for instance, you can't become a PI until you worked in law enforcement for X number of years.
Again, different states, different rules, and, you know, fictional television. So,
I suppose it's like anything, like technically speaking, I could go tell people that I'm a counselor and counsel people, and I'm not licensed as a counselor. I'm not, you know, I didn't go to school for it, but I could probably do that. The same way that, you know, I could probably say I'm a private investigator. I'm not legally licensed and bonded in the state, but
right.
I'm really good at finding things in people. So,
Evil Dead rights holders are hoping to make new sequel every 2 or 3 years. Okay, sure. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. White Man Can't, as long as they're making a good movie, you know what I mean? Like, Evil Dead Rise or The Evil Dead or whatever. As long as we're not getting like crappy, oh, it's a new year, we better put a new Saw out.
Yeah.
Like when we got like 8 Saws in 8 years because, you know, it's October. That means it's time for Saw. Oh, what do you mean we rushed this one?
I mean, in fairness, there was quite a while there that you and I were excited that we were getting one every year. But
yes. No, I agree 100%. But they got worse and worse as time went on.
Yes, they did.
If they take their time with it and have a good story, I'm all there for it. White Man Can't Jump TV show. Sure. Someone
actually
will enjoy watching
really
that, probably.
Decent. I thought it looked good. I was surprised. I don't know that I'll rush out to watch it, but it looked better than I expected it to.
Okay, I'll agree with that. It did look better than I thought it was going to look. The story is, it's a modernized version of the same exact story from the Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes movies.
Yep.
But yeah, otherwise, yeah. Apple Musical.
Hannah Waddingham.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
We've seen her singing chops on Ted Lasso multiple times. So to see Hannah Waddingham on a musical holiday special, shit yeah.
I'll watch it.
Yep.
American Born Chinese. I'm all for it.
Yeah, this was the full trailer, and it looks decent. And it reminded me, you know, that I did read the graphic novel. It was cool books. Yeah, basically the Monkey King comes into the human world, and he enlists the help of a normal human kid to traverse the world so that he can get his power back and bring balance back to his world.
Oh, you know, I forgot to read this article about Will Wheaton explains why Wesley can't visit the Crushers. Why not?
Basically, the way he put it, and it's true, when he became a, what was it, like Watcher or whatever?
Watcher, yeah.
When he took that vow to do that, part of the stipulation was that he was never allowed to go back and connect with anybody from his previous life. So, because it would be too risky, he might, you know, it, they all live by this code where basically they could be tempted to interfere with those lives and help them do things to, you know, make their life better, et cetera, because, you know, he basically has the power of a god, so he could.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, yeah, he basically said that, you know, that's the stipulation.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
He would love to go see his brother and his mother, but he just can't.
No, that makes sense. I get that.
Yep.
Scream 6 is on Paramount Plus. Cool.
Yeah. I still got to check that one out. I got busy and didn't, but yes.
I do want to watch that again. So.
Yeah.
Kraven the Hunter movie is rated R. All right.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot that was happening, but okay. I'm here for it.
Yeah, they had a, what was it, like CinemaCon or something?
Yes, and, CinemaCon.
And they gave out a lot of footage. They had a lot of interviews where people talked about stuff.
You know, they talked about the release trailer for Kraven, 14 minutes of Across the Spider-Verse, which I don't want to see. Equalizer 3 trailer, which you shared, and that looks like the other Equalizer movies. It's Denzel Washington playing a badass, you know, helping the downtrodden and unlucky.
Yep.
Killing a bunch of people in unique ways along the way.
Uh-huh.
And the Ghostbusters Afterlife sequel were all named. So I'm looking forward to that Afterlife sequel. If it's as good as Afterlife, I'm excited for it.
I still haven't watched Afterlife. I gotta watch
it. It's so fucking good. You really do need to watch it. And you get very emotional at the end of it.
Okay.
The Witcher season 3 trailer.
It's bittersweet. Like, this is the last season where Henry Cavill's in it. He looks amazing. The season looks amazing. We finally get the Wild Hunt, which is exciting as fuck. But it's bittersweet because we know that he's not going to be in it after this. They're going to shoehorn in one of the Hemsworths, and I don't care if they say, oh, he looks great in the outfit. Henry Cavill brought the energy to The Witcher of Geralt, and he brought the knowledge of the books and the games and the lore that the world was created in.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know that I'll actually watch the fourth season.
Black Mirror season 6 trailer. Obviously, it's an anthology show. It's on Netflix. The trailer just showed us a bunch of different clips of this or that. Really can't make heads or tails or whatever. Don't really care. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, and I like that the trailer acknowledged the fact that we've all been fucking waiting.
Yeah.
Because we wanted some info, and we're like, where the fuck is season 6? So, yeah.
It's been a spell. Yeah.
Yep.
Beetlejuice 2 is officially in development.
Cool. Yep. It's supposed to be Lydia's daughter. They're talking about Jenna Ortega playing her daughter.
Yep.
I'm there for it. I wonder if they got Michael Keaton to come back because he is having a resurgence right now. I could absolutely see them bringing him back as Beetlejuice.
The Apple TV Plus trailer for Platonic with Seth Green and Seth Rogen and what's her face?
Rose Byrne.
Yeah, Rose Byrne. I watched the trailer before we started this, and I kind of feel like they're going to end up together at the end.
Most likely, maybe not. Yep.
Maybe not. She's married with a family. He's not married. They've been friends for a long time, or they were friends previously. They were united after a long time apart. I mean, you know, seem to be getting along awful well together.
Yeah, interesting that they had that stint in Neighbors and Neighbors 2 as a married couple. Now they're playing, you know, best friends for years.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania coming to Disney Plus. What was it, May 17th?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
So, cool.
I'm happy to watch it finally.
Yep.
Disney's Wish trailer.
I think it looks great. It's going to be another Disney gold maker.
Probably, yep. Transformers Rise of the Beast. I don't know how I feel about this.
So the main reason that I sent it to you and the main reason that I watched it was because they said Unicron is coming. And I wanted to see if they did him justice. I think that they did.
Yeah. Okay,
I think that it's still a Michael Bay movie, even if he's not attached. I think that it's still ridiculous. I was never
not a Beast Wars fan.
Yeah, I was not that demographic.
Nope. Smile 2's got a sequel. That's all I said.
Which, remember, I watched halfway through the movie and said I can predict the rest of this movie. And then you told me that there was a twist at the end that left it open for another movie. So,
yes,
this all makes sense.
Absolutely did. Yep. Dodgeball sequel in development with Vince Vaughn.
I'm going to sound like an asshole here, or maybe not, but I kind of wish they wouldn't do this.
The first movie was good. We don't need a sequel.
The first movie was gold. It is so quotable. It's so amazing. I feel like at best, we were talking about this last night, I feel like at best they would rehash the same jokes over and over.
Oh, we're going to get, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. We're going to get, yes.
Yeah. And I don't need that. I love the first one for what it was. It's like Wedding Crashers. They've never done another Wedding Crashers, and they shouldn't do another Wedding Crashers. Yep. So I 100% think that this probably shouldn't be done. Maybe they will surprise me, but no.
Did you watch that Star Wars Jedi Survivor trailer I sent you? That looks funny. With Mark Hamill training. Oh, that looks hilarious.
Cameron Monaghan. Yeah. Or as Julia calls him, Ian Gallagher, because that was his character on Shameless. Did you get that game with Ian Gallagher? Yep, that's the one.
Twisted Metal trailer. Is that a
video game
that
thoughts,
needed a movie? I don't know. I didn't play the video game. I think I played it a couple times, but I wasn't a huge fan. It doesn't appeal to 43-year-old me, but maybe it would have appealed to 23-year-old me.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
So the fact that they're saying that it's a comedy really bothers me. I played Twisted Metal a lot.
Yeah. Okay?
The first one on the PlayStation, second, you know, through Twisted Metal Black. I even really enjoyed Rogue Trip, which was 989 Studios that originally did Twisted Metal, were kicked out. They broke off. They had to do their own thing. And they made a game called Rogue Trip, which was very similar to Twisted Metal, except for you were trying to drive a tourist around town. The Twisted Metal games were always arena games, but like in a town or in a giant stadium that was like a bowl in the middle. There were traps, there were weapons, and basically you would pick a driver in the beginning of the game and you would try to make your way through every arena, killing all the other drivers. It was a last man standing kind of thing, and if you killed everybody else, then you got to move on to the next arena. If you made it all the way through the game, the whole story was that this was a death race kind of thing, but an arena death race, and whoever reached the end and made it to Calypso, the guy who was running the whole thing, they would have any one wish granted, you know, like a genie type of thing. Like this guy would grant you one wish. So that's what everybody was fighting for. And so everybody had a different story. So you picked your driver, you went through the game, and you got to see how their story played out. It was great. I loved it. I used to fight against Jeremarang. We used to play this against each other constantly. It was a source of great joy for me. This, I'm worried, it, like you said, A, it didn't need to be a game. Or it didn't need to be a TV show or a movie. And B, the fact that they said that it's a comedy, like this is supposed to be a death race. This is supposed to be, like, there were some over-the-top characters, but it was supposed to be a very dark and gritty. In fact, they moved on from Twisted Metal to, like, Twisted Metal Black, which was even darker and more twisted. So, I don't know. I obviously have thoughts.
For me, yeah, oh yes, and because you played the video games, you're emotionally attached to it. It's something that you grew up with, if you will, whereas I have no emotional attachment.
You unplugged your mic, I think. Yep, he's frantically putting it back in. There you are.
All right, yeah, my headset, I just stepped on the cord and unplugged myself.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I know. But anyhow, no, you have an emotional attachment to the game. It yep. makes sense that you would have some sort of feelings one way or the other about it, and strong feelings at that. I completely understand. I have no emotional attachments to the game. I watch the trailer, and I just think, huh, well, that's a movie that's being made, and I may or may not watch it. Like, I have no emotional attachments to it. I have no direct need to go to the theaters and watch it or rent it on Redbox. It's more like, oh, this is streaming. I've heard good or bad about it. Maybe I'll check it out based on that.
I think it's actually a TV series that's coming to Peacock.
Oh, Wes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring it up. I'm pretty sure that that's what I was seeing.
Well, even then, that does not make me want. Okay, so that may or may not check it out at all. Who knows?
But think about Blood Drive. Like, if it turned out to be something like Blood Drive, which it would have the potential to be, I would consider Blood Drive a very loose horror, very loose comedy action show.
Blood Drive is just damn good.
Yeah, yeah. So this could have the potential to be that. I don't like the fact they're billing it as a comedy, but maybe they're going for a dark, twisted comedy kind of thing. I have a feeling that they'll do like a road race rather than a Death Bowl, death race kind of thing. But we shall see. That was the thing, though. Like in Twisted Metal, everybody had guns all over their vehicle. You had machine guns, missile launchers, you mines. Like there, it was just you tried to kill each other constantly. So I'll be interested to see how this translates to a TV series. And the clown that you see at the end, that was the he was basically the figurehead for Twisted Metal, Sweet Tooth, the psychotic clown who just basically wanted to watch the world burn. He drove around in an ice cream truck. And
yes, that's what stands out. Yep.
Yep. Yep. So he was in every one of the games. Even if other characters changed, Sweet Tooth was always there.
Last trailer you sent me was Becky or The Wrath of Becky.
Uh-huh.
I had forgotten about the first movie, quite frankly. So I had to remember. Go ahead.
What was the title of the first one?
Just Becky.
Okay.
Yeah, with Kevin James and her, and he was like a bald-headed, bearded killer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll watch this.
So now we have Sean William Scott.
Yes. Instead. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'll watch this. It's The Wrath of Becky.
Yep.
You know, Lulu Wilson's back to play Becky. She's a little older now. She's still got anger issues though. Holy shit.
Yep. Yep. Well, they keep fucking with her.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, no, I'll watch this. I'll watch this, yeah.
Cool.
I don't know. It got released March 11th at South by Southwest, but who knows when it's going to.
Yeah, eventually make its way here.
Yep. I like the synopsis. 2 years after the events of Becky, Becky takes on a fascist organization.
That's really all you need.
Yeah. Yep. So anyhow, you got anything else?
No, I think we have yammered on for 2 hours now. So
I know. Well, I did have 18 movies to briefly talk about.
And we had we had some pretty solid finales to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I'm on the Twitter machine. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
That's our show.
Talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
Or have a normal one.
Have a day.
Yes. Or have a night.